had a question, first of all, before my comments. You had mentioned when you first stood up that you understand the aging population and the housing needs for older adults. Their needs are different. But I didn't hear that that was a component of your plan. I heard a lot about two-story, you know, things. Is that not part of your plan at this thought?
Yes. No, I was going to tell you, part of what I was... That, remember, I also mentioned that there was going to be some condominiums for sale on the things. And that's basically one level.
Okay, I didn't hear that.
Oh, yes. No, no. I got to tell you something. I am married. And my wife, if there wasn't everything on one level, including the utility room, I've learned all of those things. It all has to be there.
I just didn't.
Yeah, no, no.
Yep. Okay. All right. So my comments tonight are from the perspective of a Cary homeowner for over 30 years, Maplewood resident that long as well. And I'm just here to share some of my concerns about the development as well as the village's comprehensive plan for the space. When the school board began the discussions regarding the sale of the Maplewood property, many of my neighbors and I spoke at public meetings urging them to re-enter discussions with the Cary Park District to save our precious green space. When the Intergovernmental Committee of the Village of Cary and trustees and the District 26 board members met, I again attended those meetings and repeated our pleas and requests and concerns. And now we are at the point of development. And again, I'm here to plead for your consideration of open space, because once those fields are dug up and cement poured, we have lost a local treasure. I'm asking if a compromise can be made somehow to retain more open space. Think how many times all of us have been to games in those fields. As for the Cary Comprehensive Plan, I kind of look at that. I work for a governmental unit. I work for a library. We do strategic plans. We have plans. They're guides. They're guides. They're not set in stone. Projections and plans are based on projections and studies, a wish list, if you will. Just as the growth projections that justified building two new schools, which put our school district in the red and on the state watch list for years, and now we have two shuttered schools. And as a taxpayer who paid for those two referendums that built those schools, can you even begin to understand why I would be suspicious or doubt that the demand for this grandiose plan for commuter condos and associated future development could be a tad inflated? There's a lot of trigger words being tossed around. High density, traffic concerns are a very real issue. Retention ponds, water retention, parking, traffic, red lights. This is a very emotional issue for all of us in the Maplewood neighborhood, as I hope that you can appreciate. Basically, I think it all boils down to what kind of a community does the Village of Cary want to be? Can we move forward with development and take into consideration the traditions that this village has held as cornerstones of family and community life? And I guess that's the question that, in effect, I'm asking. It's a little too late for District 26, but I'm asking our village board to consider. Thank you.
I will try to do this as orderly as possible. We're going to try to keep comments to 3 minutes, as I want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to be heard by the developer as well as the board. So why don't we start with the first row here. Is there somebody here in the first row that would like to address the village board or ask a question or a statement about the development on this side? Would you like to come up to the mic? And then please just give your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Mike Boyce. I live on Alita Drive, and I have been there since it began. So 1973 is when we moved in. I think the lady before me made a lot of wonderful points, very, very good points. And I think the to make a comment, change is always difficult. You know, we've lived there It's our original house. We've lived there for a very long period of time. And we've developed a culture in that area. And I think that as a community, as a village, you need to respect that. We don't want to see that lost. That's very, very critical. We've raised our children there, and now our children are raising children there. That's what the community is supposed to be about. So again, to reaffirm what she said, don't destroy the single-family concept. You know, our village was born on, raised on single-family ideas. I understand the tax issues that you're all going through and how much we need that, but I think it would be a good idea for you to share what taxes perhaps might be developed by this developer and what you would do with them. I think that that's very important. I don't think anybody wants to see any commercial in this kind of an area. This is a residential area. And I think that the comments about the traffic are absolutely critical. I do very honestly do not want to see one more car going down my street because of this development. Nor does anybody on Norman or anybody else want to see that. So we understand there's going to be some of that, but that's a critical issue. Also, we have some water problems. You know, we had the flood of the 100-year flood once again in the last 7 years. So there have been some water problems down there. How is that going to be addressed? We need to really look at that type of thing. Of many of the questions were answered that I had. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I think it's very, it would be very interesting to us to see what the costs of these homes would be, what the height is. I think the height is a big issue. I don't want to be staring out of my house looking at Tyvek Tower again, okay? Nobody wants to see that. So nobody really, I don't think, wants a four-story anything in that area. I'd like to know what kind of rents would be charged in these homes. I'm sure you're going to do that kind of work to find out how much money you will be generating. And, you know, again, because I don't know a lot about this, how would the property be taxed? I would assume it's the same way that any other piece of property in the village would be taxed. So I don't know if there are any incentives being given or anything like that, but I think I'd really like to know if that's going to happen. So, and again, I think one of the big questions is really the density issue. It's come up numerous times. So keep the community the way it is. We know it's going to change, but keep the culture the way it is. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? George, did you have anything to say? No? Let's go on this one over here. Anybody on the first row on this side? Anything they want to say? We'll start back over here on the second row. Is there anybody here who would like to offer some comments?
Hi, I'm Fran Steinke. I live on Alita for 44 years. Okay. We are the original owners. Okay. My question is, you keep talking about single-family townhomes, not attached. What's your lot size going to be?
I wouldn't have an answer for you.
Okay.
That's all something between the dialogue between me and the staff and them, right?
Okay, it's all right.
But I will tell you, I would like it as small as possible, okay?
Okay, that's going to be great, possibly from your end.
Okay, okay, go ahead.
Typically, our homes are city lots, quarter acre each,
right.
Typically. We have nice backyards, nice front yards. We have a nice area between homes. Now, you're going to be putting cookie-cutter homes side by side by side. You're going to be taking up all this green space, water. Jennifer already brought it up earlier, that Maplewood typically has a drainage problem. Are you going to be putting in a retention pond? Are you going to maintain the sewer system, which our area in Cary has already been proven that most of us have invested everything from $800 to $5,000 to route out city sewers. Is the city going to come back, renovate the sewer system? I know neighbors just told me the other day they had to contact a sewer company, a local vendor, $750. We put in additional tiles over $5,000. I never went to the village, but are you as the village going to come into a leader drive, Arthur, Norman? Norman typically floods worse in the whole area. Are you going to send in a company to investigate that sewer system before you put in a new sewer system.
Can I answer that?
Please do.
Yeah, no, I...
I don't like sewer water.
No, let me
stay up.
No, let me tell you something. The drainage requirements that I have to comply with today, when did you move into your house?
1973, November 23rd.
1975. If you go back and take a look at the drainage requirements that we have to comply with, are going to be many times more stringent than what you had to go through, many more times. Not only that, what I did was the custom housing. And you know what I did in all of my communities? I was coming into the last piece in all of these communities. And you know what I had to do? I had to take care of, and this went on in Western Springs. Everything was existing housing on all the sites, and I had to correct all those issues. I had to correct that from a drainage standpoint and every other detention requirement standpoint.
Okay. Granted that everything has gotten better in time, especially for sewers. We've noticed that on the other side of town.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the situation of flooding. All I'm saying is that you're going to be putting in new sewers, new drain tiles.
Yes.
What's going to happen to the existing homes on Alita, Arthur, Norman, Mary? We do not need to flood. And when Cimarron built, there were no retention ponds. Then a year later, golly, our homes were flooding. Why? We had no retention ponds. I don't see a retention pond up there. And I don't want to be...
There isn't one.
Well, that's not good.
There isn't one. No, there isn't one up there. But you want to know something? The first time I show up with your engineer over here, it's already been pointed out to me. He already pointed out to me that there will be detention. Oh, excuse me. Over in this area right over in here.
Okay, because currently...
And we're going to... And more than likely, if there is some drainage issues in that area, we're going to have to correct that.
Okay,
they won't tell me that. They're just going to make me do it.
It's not only that. You're going to be linking into the Village of Cary sewer system. You have to.
Yes.
You're not putting
yes.
in our sewer
nope.
system. Right. Will
no.
the village come through and maintenance our system?
Just wait. Excuse me. Can we just have, please, could you hold your comment, please? Please, so we can hear the young lady that's up here with the developer.
These are all items that are going to be considered through the development review process, and this is a perfect opportunity here for residents like you to bring up that feedback so that we make sure that we look at those items.
To us, it's very important.
And the design of the sewer system will coincide with how the developer is going to put it on the site. It's very hard to determine that right now, but there will be a lot of conversation with our village engineer as well as with the developer on water retention and what we're going to do with our sewer system. Our sewer plant has the capacity, a lot of capacity, to add new service to our current system right now.
Oh, that's great. As long as you go back and you check ours and renovate it, so when you link the two in,
okay.
we're not sitting with sewer water.
Okay.
The other thing, did you ever walk down Crens?
I walked, yes.
Oh, good. Did you ever notice there's about six sewers that are inoperable right on the parking and the curb on that property? Did you ever notice that?
No, actually, Eric is jotting that down right now, and I'm sure that's one of the things he's going to work on in the morning.
It's cute. Because the large manhole sewers, those are functional, but mm-hmm. the ones that are on the parking side of Maplewood on the street have never been operational. Absolutely never. Which makes it kind of funny, you know.
Well, we'll take a look at that.
Your building right there.
Yeah.
Not good.
Where are you located? Show me, I'm here. Show me where you are. Just fine. Well, I'll try to get to know everybody before this is all done.
Want to?
I will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I go by her. I know it. I've been over there. Okay, I know. I've been there.
I'm home a lot.
Okay.
Thank you for your comments. They've been noted. I'm going to let your young wife talk first, and then I'll let you talk, okay?
Hello, 239 North School Street, Martha Ritter.
And what's your name?
Martha Ritter.
Okay.
Everybody knows me, right?
Yeah. Pull the mic. Martha, pull the microphone down. There you go.
I just want to know, with all the rentals that are going in there, is there going to be a company that's going to take care of them, or who's overseeing all this, or are they just going to go pop right in there and go, here we are to rent apartments, and here's all your garbage thrown all over our neighborhood?
No, there'll be a rental company that'll be overseeing all of that. Actually, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but one of the people that I'm interested in is sitting right here watching this evening, so they're taking a lot of this in.
Okay, because if it's four stories high, that's a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
And I don't want that crap blowing into my yard, because I'm right backing up to it.
Just so you understand, when I say four stories, the only area that I'm talking about four stories is that along the tracks.
That's close to me.
Okay, well, you're not on the tracks. You don't live on the tracks, do you? This is.
I might after this. Okay. I might have to after this. You're getting closer and closer to my house, so apparently the tracks are going to be coming closer to my house. So apparently pretty soon they will be. I will be.
Thanks. Thanks, Martha. George, did you want to jump in?
George who?
Like, you don't know.
George Ritter. Here's her other half, her better half. He was talking about a retention pond right here. That one that's there right now overflows a lot. It's not adequate enough. And if you make that thing any bigger, how are you going to get a road with a bridge over that retention pond from the train station? The exit by the firehouse?
Yeah, those are items that we're going to have to, you know, work through, and are going to be, those are items that we're going to have to work through. They're going to be a part of the engineering process here.
Okay. Thank you, George. Back to the second row. Anybody?
Oops, one more here.
You're welcome.
Okay. Nick Cosman, 201 North School. This is going to be more reinforcing and reiterating points already made, but I've been in the neighborhood a little more than a year. It was May of last year I really moved in. And I work in Palatine, grew up in Hoffman Estates, so I'm familiar with the properties you're discussing. And I spent a year and a half looking for a community and a neighborhood that I felt comfortable in and wanted to move into. I turned away from Cook County because I saw every small neighborhood there becoming more urban and like we're discussing here. I didn't want any part of that, so I chose to move to this community, our community now, and I just really like the small town feel. So that's, that, like everybody has already said, that's what we're going for. That's why I moved here. That's why I want to spend my life here. And that's about all I have to say. So,
thank you, Dick. Anybody else in the second row on this side have anything they want to say? We'll move, jumps. Anybody on the second row? This. Okay, we'll go back to the third row. Anybody on the third row have anything they'd like to offer? Come on up.
All right. I'm Dan Seibert. I live 410 West Main Street, right on the other side of the property there. I have two interests. I obviously live right by the area, and I'm also involved with the baseball and softball league. So the first thing I want to ask, I'm concerned that there wasn't a plan developed today, and I just want to make sure that there will be another meeting like this once the plan is developed, where the community can come in and
yes,
and give some comments. My other comment is that area along Northwest Highway is kind of the face of Cary. You know, as you come around that curve, I just want to make sure that, you know, we're not seeing some rundown apartments and, you know, people thinking, geez, I'm glad I don't live this place. And the other comment I have is on the baseball and softball side. Are there any accommodations in the comprehensive plan to accommodate or to replace the five ball fields that are being lost at Maplewood? And if not, is the village willing to work with CGYBS and the Park District and some other sports organizations to replace the fields? And you don't need to answer that question now. It's just something I want you to think about.
I can kind of touch a little bit of it. I can't speak for that, depending on this, but the Park District, in their, they just completed their comprehensive plan, and they have identified baseball fields at the Cary Grove Park, which is right next to the high school. I believe they have three that is penciled in there for right now, but I would check with them.
Okay.
They're well aware of what's going on.
And we have had some discussions with them, but I guess my question, too, is would the village be more, would they be willing to be more involved in maybe acquiring some land and helping us develop it along with the Park District?
That would be a question for another day.
Something for you to think about.
All right, thank you. Continuing on with the third row, is there somebody else that would like to please come up?
My name is Kristen Fadden, and I live at 26 North Prairie Street. So I live directly across from Maplewood School presently, right on the corner. So I'm concerned about how many cars are going to be coming out of that new part coming down my street. I mean, my street is only two houses long, and now with you guys changing the way that the parking is on there, I'm very concerned about if people are going to be parking on both sides of the road, it's very hard to get a car going down one way and a car going down the other way. There's no way. There can only be one car. I've taken pictures. I've seen it where cars are actually backing up to get through. So to put another, I'm just going to throw out a number, say 200, 300 units in that area. Some of them are going to come out on Prairie or dump onto Krenz. Yeah, you're going to put that other road in there, but the ones in the front are not going to be using that part. So I'm just very concerned about that. My other concern is, yeah, fire truck cannot go through. My husband will tell you that. The other part is with taking down Maplewood, which we all know is going to happen. Ken, we've been here for long enough to know that. But right now there's no place for those kids to play. There's no park in our neighborhood whatsoever. Once that playground is taken away, there is no park. And just an open space is great. And, you know, of course, my kids are older, so I don't necessarily need the playground, but there are a lot of young families in our neighborhood, and there's no park. They either have to cross Main Street, which there's no crossing guards during the regular, you know, part of the day, or they have to go across Cary Algonquin Road. So I would really like to see a park, some kind of park to play in there. And that's all I have.
Thank you. I would be willing to bet that there will be a park on that property somewhere. We'll jump the aisle over here. Anybody on the third row over here?
Hi, Jen Crick, 315 Inverness Drive, Cary. This isn't really for you, but I just really wanted to thank Jen Weinhammer for taking the time to go door to door and ask residents their questions, because I really feel like that this is being absorbed, at least by some of the trustees, and the questions that are being asked are very good questions, and they're not going to go away, and this is not just for show. So the questions that are asked are being absorbed and being processed and will come again. So I thank you for your work. And then I'm going to just piggyback on what Kristen said about a park. If we're going to put a park in, I would really encourage, I know this is probably Park District or whoever, but I would really encourage the village to consider a park that would be adaptable, usable for children with special needs. We can look, there's a lot of different organizations, but that is one thing that this village seriously lacks. And working with babies and infants and toddlers who have special needs, it is very hard for me to get them out into this community and give them a safe place to play. So I would really encourage an adaptability park. Thanks.
Is it over there? We'll go back to the fourth row side.
I never misunderstood.
Fourth row on that side. Anybody want to address the board or have a comment for the developer? Jump over here. Come on up.
My name is Jerry Barrett. I'm 557 Krenz. I've been there probably about 50 years. And my question for you is, looking at that, we've got like three or four entrances and exits. and they all come out to Krenz and they all go to Main Street. Tonight, when I came here tonight, my neighbor next door, I saw walking. I left after them in a car. We met here at the same time. So what does that tell you about traffic? Depending upon the density, it's going to be forever to get here. I'll have to leave at 5 o'clock to make a 6 o'clock time. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Is there anybody on this side that would like to have a comment?
Andrea Rouse, I live on Krenz Avenue. My mother wanted me to come to this meeting. My mother's Mary Rouse. I'm listening to all these great ideas, but I just want to know, you probably can't even give me an answer, why wasn't Maplewood turned into a community center? We wouldn't have to have this meeting. We'd be able to, you'd be able to rent it out. You know, people could have family reunions. The scouts could use it. It'd be a spot for the people to come and meet. We'd still have the, you know, baseball fields, whatever. But I'm just saying it could have been turned into something that the community could have used instead of having new homes being built into an area that is single family homes. And that's all I needed to say.
Anybody else on this side? Come on up.
My name is Randy Soddy. Sorry, I'm going to get emotional because I just bought a house and I wanted to raise my family here. And now I'm hearing all of this and I'm questioning. And it was Jennifer. She was the one that came and told me about this. And I'm starting to get emotional because it's so many eyes. I'm used to talking in front of children. I'm actually a teacher, so I'm not used to talking to adults. But anyway, I'm just saying, like, we lived here 8 years ago and we searched for a home and we saved all of our money and bought a home here because we wanted to have a family. And now I'm worried that that's going to change. I'm going to sunk all my money into this house. And then what's the resale value of my house going to be after these apartments are put in? Am I going to be able to get my money back? And that's, like, my concern. So that's all I had to say. I'm sorry for the emotions.
That's okay. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Rich Foster from 520 Cary Algonquin Road. The road heading north out of the property where it hits Cary Algonquin Industrial, are they going to line that road so that can be used to come out of there?
I believe that's the plan. I mean, it depends on what the final development, the exact layout of it's going to be. But, you know, the developer, the whole premise of this meeting is just to get what the tolerance and what people are looking for and what they would like to see or not see. And then he can put pen to paper and figure out how these things will be laid out.
Yeah.
So generally, it's intended that that road would be an access road for the development that goes out to Cary Algonquin Road.
Goes out to Cary Algonquin Road, make a left where it doesn't line up at that corner. Is really tough. I do it every day.
Yeah, all those things are going to have to be considered here through the process, preliminarily planning the road.
Is that going
to
be a two-lane road in and out?
The access road?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the intention.
That's the intention. You know,
yeah. There's been a couple comments about traffic. Part of the development that we've done, and we've had, well, there will be a traffic, an official traffic, third-party traffic study that will help us make these decisions that we can line up along with our village engineer, Director Morimoto. They'll set these things up, and we'll see how these things will all be laid out and what it's going to be the best and safest way to put these things in.
Because that's going right by the piece of property I have there.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I just ask a question with regard to his?
Sure.
So I'm looking at it here where Siebert would extend out to Cary Algonquin Road. And currently it doesn't look like it would line up with industrial. And I don't know, I know you guys said that you would try and make it line up. Is there space to go ahead and line it up?
I'll jump in on that one. From the concept plan here just looks at some of the existing conditions and how those roadways will connect into the site.
So any new development would look at that intersection for ways that it could be improved and alignment could be modified so that it provides access both Industrial Drive and into this area.
I guess I'm asking, is there a building right there that would not allow you to line it up? The fire department's there, so it can't be lined up, or it can?
Again, those are definitely valid points and things that, as the development process goes forward, the petitioner and their through their traffic study that the mayor mentioned would be required as part of the development process would have to look at and address. From what we've looked at, just from our own analysis conceptually, even before there was a development opportunity in the works, there's different ways you can handle that offset. Some of them are more direct than others, some more challenging than others, but there's a variety of ways it can be accomplished, and it'll be up to the developers and engineers, obviously, to work through the process with the village and find the most appropriate one.
Thanks.
Hi, Bonnie Plour, 332 Krenz. And Seabird is currently a dead end, and you've got it drawn as a traffic flow. And when they built the commuter lot, I mean, that was huge, that the commuter traffic was not coming out Seabird, and that it's a dead end. So was there plans to be changing that? I mean,
right now what I would say is that
that's not a good traffic arrow there.
Yeah, this is just a concept here that was dealt
right.
Developed.
Okay, so I mean, a lot of this is all the traffic. I mean, we got hundreds of cars and hundreds of people cramming, coming down School Street and Prairie Street and Seabird Street and across Krenz to get into there. That's just a lot. So, that trafficking down Seabird is definitely, and your commuter lot is not drawn correctly, but
let me just address that. So yeah. You know, this is just a concept yeah. plan. It's mm-hmm. not written in stone. Yeah. This is what our consultants came up with after the input of residents and what they would like to see. So this is how they yeah. have driven. It's just an idea. It's not in stone. This is not exactly yeah. what
okay.
it's going to do.
So I'm just saying the concern of but the other thing is again the green space, which several have spoken to. It just, the 12 acres of green space that has been in this neighborhood, and like you say, the kids cannot go anywhere out of this neighborhood. I mean, I can remember when my kids were little, it was like, okay, you can trick or treat just in our neighborhood. You know, don't go across Main Street, don't go across Carroll Algonquin, because we knew we could just trick or treat from Maplewood and the whole area. And there is no park, there's no green space. And that amount that's drawn there, I don't know if there's some kind of percentage that's supposed to be with the development and parks and, you know, whatever that magic formula is. There's something, I don't know what it is, but somebody does. But it seems like it should be more than what is on there right now of that little bit, because that's barely the size of Maplewood School. That green rectangle is about hardly the size of the actual building. So if you think about kids trying to fly kites or do anything, so whatever the magic formula is for Cary with green space and residential, I think it should be a lot larger.
That was one of my questions that I have for later to be addressed, was the open space and the park space that we have drawn into the plan. Do we have a size agreement that we're saying we want so many acres of green space versus development?
No. From a development standpoint, there's no standards that are established in the zoning ordinance for park to development areas. This plan, again, it's the concept plan as far as that some green element needs to be included in a development plan. So the ending development could have a larger park or a different modification or area for where that green space could be. It's just that some sort of green space needs to be incorporated into the development.
And we talked about the green space possibly being part of the development versus more of a separate space for residents that live outside of that development. I think if it's part of the development, it kind of inhibits people wanting to go in and be part of that development. And then also, is it deeded to the village? Does it stay with the development? go to the park district? Do you have anything in place for that?
All valid questions. I mean, it could be maintained as a private park, part of the development, that there's the, an HOA that would be developed, could maintain, facilities on the park, or it could be something that could be dedicated to the park district, for their maintenance and improved upon as part of the development. It's all part of the development process. We can learn to have those discussions and become more versed in what that final scope would be.
I think, too, when we're talking about the green space, obviously, we want as much green space as we can get out there. But when you think about it, the more green space that there is, the less developable property there is. And so you're looking at the developer then is probably going to ask to go higher, have more dense development if there's more green space. And so these are just things that, we'll discuss and work through with the developer here.
Just going to add that, obviously, with a lot of the great feedback about traffic, and obviously the developer is looking for feedback initially. This is not his plan, so a lot of the stuff you see here, the traffic flow arrows, the size of detention, they're great pictures and concepts to get the conversation started, get the idea across. Not developed by an engineer, I can say that. But when the engineers do get involved, though, they obviously will make the things the appropriate scale, make the plan work the appropriate taking into account the appropriate requirements that are in place, especially with stormwater. From the traffic perspective, I just wanted to add that obviously with the traffic study that will be done, those studies do incorporate analysis of the existing traffic patterns, traffic volumes, where is the current neighborhood traveling to and from, how many cars are going through the intersections. Then they will account for, with the proposed development, once Mr. Taylor has a site plan, his team will obviously then apply the appropriate numbers based on the current engineering standards for how much traffic is generated by different kinds of development, by X number of unit apartment building or X number of units of townhomes or single family homes. Those things that I think a lot of neighbors are rightfully bringing up will be incorporated into that traffic study. So once there's a real site plan in place and once that study is conducted, I think a lot of these answers that you're bringing up will be brought before you. And then I think you'll get a lot of that feedback then, and we'll take it from there.
Thank you, Eric. Oh, let me just get to the rest of the crowd before I go round two here. All right, please come up.
My name is Jim Hirsch. I live in Crystal Lake, but I own industrial property along the railroad tracks opposite Norman. The road currently runs between Norman and our property. If we're going to stop all these cars out that road, it is critical that intersection lines up at Carroll Algonquin Road. You can get killed over there. I invite anybody to come on over and try and get out of there during rush hour. Try to get on industrial because it's an absolute hazard. Fortunately, right now, there's not a lot of traffic coming out of our deal. It's us, a couple of buildings. But if you're going to be dumping train parking lots and this development out there, it's going to be a nightmare. So just make sure that it's part of your plan. And the second thing is, who's going to be paying for that? See as how part of it's going to be your train depot stuff, correct? And part of it's going to be these guys. Who is going to be paying for all those improvements?
We hear you. Is there anybody else in the back that would like to offer some comments?
I'm Teresa Slavik. I live in Krenz Avenue. I guess for me, it's hard to come here. I appreciate the presentation because it means a lot to me because I live in that area. I can't get a hold of high density versus low density. That's a crux for me. Is it 100? Is it 400? So that's for something for me is very important. And I know a lot of people who live around me, we want to know. I kind of feel like we're going to say, I hope that it's not going to be vote for the plan, and then we'll find out what's in the plan later. I want to know all the details now. There's so many things, transportation, the height of the buildings, the density, EPA. I don't know if you've worked with EPA issues before. That building has to come down, and there's probably a ton of asbestos and issues with that. That's an issue. There's a gas tank underground that we talked about 10 years ago. There's just lots of issues that will affect us. I'm a very proud Briargay parent. I love the school. To tell me you might put 400 apartments in with 1, 2, 3 bedroom apartments and to tell me it's not gonna impact Briargay, I'm not sure that's logical. I'm not saying it's not, but it's a concern. We are, Briar Gate is the only school on this side of town now because of what Cary 26, the decisions they've made. So we want to make sure that that part of our town is protected with the students that we have, because it's an amazing school, and we don't want to have to be that we bring in all this density apartments and then our children are bused to Three Oaks or Deer Path or wherever. It's very important to us. So we appreciate that. I just hope, again, that we're going to have transparency. We're going to know the information before you all vote on it so we can make decisions. And I do really want to thank Jen, too, for reaching out to our community. I give you such a kudos for doing that and being the impetus to ask us, because the last time the last developer who came in didn't do that. So I appreciate you reaching out to us and then you really reaching out to us and knowing that our vote counted and what we have to say, like, we matter. So thank you very much.
So anybody else would like to address the board?
Yeah, I would like to say something.
Could you, we have somebody else coming up right now. Hold on.
You go first.
I moved to Cary in 1981. My name is Dave Graham. I think you can hear me over here. I live right here. Right here. And to take away that beautiful area, I have watched thousands and thousands of softball games and baseball games. I can see the development. I understand why. But to put apartments over here to block the horizon, every night I look out my window, such a quiet area, the people there work so hard to keep everything nice in the area. I take great pride in my house, both outside, and also the people in the neighborhood, they take great pride in their work too. And to have this all of a sudden, like, okay, let's put some apartments over there. Let's put in, you know, 1,500 people over there. You know, it's a nice, quiet, peaceful area. So anyway, again, Ben, thank you for all your help. It was great to see you for those 2 days walking around. I appreciate you listening to me. Thank you.
Okay.
Bill Rietveld, R-I-E-T, V as in Victor, E-L-D as in David, 551 Krenz. I don't think that any of you here are, well, some of you might, but I was part of Northwood Fur Farms. And years and years, years back, there was a bigger stink.
I went to make fur.
You know, excuse the pun, than this, okay? We filled up the high school auditorium because of the development that Mr. Decker wanted to put in there. And I appreciate the fact that you're here, okay? I have a suggestion. Get your people out in the neighborhood and start knocking on doors and find out what the heck's going on there, really what's going on. Just a suggestion. The second comment I would like to make is that I'm the neighbor that walked. All right? Krenz Avenue is like a secondary thoroughfare for Main Street. Okay? If there's anything going on Main Street, guess where they go to get away from the train station? Krenz Avenue. I noticed that a few months ago or weeks ago, there was a traffic study done or things out on the street. I was curious if there's any information, you know, on what they found. How many cars go down there? Okay. You're going to impact that neighborhood with anything that you do there except making it a big park. And maybe if you make it a big park, then we'd be happy to see the cars come up and down the street. Something's got to be done there. I agree. I mean, it can't just sit empty. Change is inevitable, okay? But please, please, consider every option that's out there, okay? The young man that you know, has this great plan of apartments, single-family, you know, detached condos, an open space. One of the things he said was, oh, I wouldn't put that open space there. Well, the neighbors in our neighborhood want that open space there because it's blocking everything else. All right? The Krenz Avenue curse, the sewers, the septics, all of that stuff was brought up. At times, it's a lake there in that whole area. I'm just voicing my opinion, and hopefully that this process, what we're going through, will be a continued process where we're not shut out, where rubber stamped, this is it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Very good.
Is there anybody else in the back that would like to address the board? Hold on one second.
This is not for me, it's my next door neighbor. She wanted to know if there was going to be garages put in the development. Garages. Okay.
Sir, did you have something? Oh.
Good evening. Thank you for having the meeting. My name is Jim Chambers. I'm on 323 Krenz. And pretty much all of my concerns have already been brought up in one form or another. So just to reiterate, the open space along Krenz Avenue, I think, is really important. What's really just sticking out to me are all those townhomes, the yellow vertical line right there. I was reading the note there. It says basically item B, townhomes at the edge of the Maplewood School property allows new development to transition to greater density toward the rail line without negatively impacting the adjacent single-family community. I just don't see how those townhomes could in any way positively impact the adjacent single-family community. So, I mean, whoever put that comment in there, if they could please explain that, that would be fantastic. Because I've seen that, I've been doing subdivision inspections for an engineering firm for about 15 years, and those townhomes, I mean, they're ugly. They go in cheap. They're the smallest lot you could get. They put as many of them in there, and they sell cheap, and it will bring down the property value of the adjacent homes. That's a concern for me. I moved there about 2 years ago. I probably put in close to $30,000 in my home in the past 2 years. I have two kids, one at Briargate, which is going to see more children, whether you want to admit it or not. Adding 300 people is certainly going to impact the schools. The traffic is going to be greatly increased. I mean, there's no question about it. So, yeah, I'm very curious about seeing the final development plans. And that's
Thank
all
you.
I have to say. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to add some comments? George?
George Ritter again. Just out of curiosity, how many units do you, the way this is set up right now, how many units do you anticipate building?
I never did a count on it even.
You don't?
No.
Okay. And secondly, I don't know if you know this, but Maplewood was a lake three times since we've been living here. They were out there with canoes, canoeing on Maplewood property. That's how bad that flooding area is.
I've seen water out there every time I've been there.
Well, not just water. They were out there with canoes, and the ducks were having a heyday.
Thank you. Come on up.
Whoops. Oh, sorry. You mentioned earlier that you built 100 homes in Cary. I'm just a little curious, where are they?
Greenfield, through the 7 and 8.
Greenfield?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'll open up one more time. Anybody else have decided they wanted to have a comment? Okay, come on.
Hello.
My name is David Stevens. I live on 338 Krenz Avenue. When I first bought my property not that long ago, right there on the corner where it's going to be affected, just like Bonnie is, I did not envision seeing this being there. I mentioned single-family homes, maybe a park, like everybody else wanted. This would definitely negatively impact my life. I've seen this happen where I came from. They put big townhomes, like condos, right next to the railroad tracks where I came from. They're good at first, until all the people started leaving there, and then turned into Section 8 housing. Then it went all to hell. This is what would possibly, I'm not saying it's what's going to happen, but when you put stuff that tall, that close to a railroad station, not many people want to be there. Who wants to sit right next to a railroad track and hear that all night? Eventually people won't want to go there. Townhomes or single-family homes in the area, make it as much as you can in there. That can be done. But it's tall stuff, I don't agree with that. I don't think anybody in this room agrees with having 3-4-story buildings anywhere. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. One final time, anybody else have a comment that they want to make? Anybody back there?
I have a comment or question real quick. I'll just stand here.
We're recording this, so if you can come up to the microphone, that would be better.
As far as traffic and congestion, since it's a hot button, when they do reports, is there any kind of idea of what kind of radius they go? Not necessarily for the centralized direct effect to the neighborhood, but if anybody has the pleasure of going through Foxborough Grove between 4 and 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. I leave early enough in the morning, it doesn't affect me, but coming home at any time between 4 and 6. So what kind of effect is it going to have, you know, the farther out you get? I mean, people spread out, yeah, but Route 14 is the main thoroughfare there. There's no other way to get here or, you know, farther east. So is there any kind of idea of what kind of radius?
Do you want to, Eric, can you speak to what is typical for a traffic study?
So with each development, the traffic studies, the areas of focus that will be studied and included as part of the analysis, it will vary depending on the development proposed. So the for example, a shopping center that's going to have 500,000 square feet of retail, obviously is going to have a bigger traffic generation, bigger number of cars impacting the roadways adjacent to it at a further radius than a development of 4 single-family homes, for example. So based on once the actual site plan is submitted as part of the review process, the developers, engineers, and staff will get together and we'll agree upon what the scale and the extent of the traffic study would be. So it will, I can't say right now, but it will definitely be appropriate to the scale of whatever is proposed.
Thank you, Eric. Final call. Give one more chance. Somebody wants to...
Hi, I'm Ted Egan at 565 Krenz Avenue, and I've lived here since 1976. I had a couple questions. I was on the park board for 12 years, and back in the 80s and early 90s, there was an ordinance on the books on calculating how much donation for the parks to the park district. And hopefully, I was hoping somebody from the park district was here now, but apparently not. And also, I don't consider the retention detention area as part of the park, because we had that problem back in the 80s. The other question I had is, you mentioned that the apartment buildings would probably be built by somebody that you bring in. Are you getting this plan developed and then bring other developers in to build, or are you actually going to be building something?
I will be developing the majority of it.
Okay. All right, my last question was the buffer areas. Are those just bushes and trees?
That's not his plan.
Let's reiterate that the plan that you're looking at right now is just a concept that was developed for our comprehensive plan. It has no indication of
what this isn't his plan.
It's not his plan. He's gathering the information now from the feedback from the residents and the board, and he's going to put something for us to consider. And okay. the public will be invited to be a part of that as well.
All right.
So this is just an idea of what was going to be thought for there.
Okay. Well, I'm also concerned about the density. I'm down by Wolf Street. And also, more parks, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Kim Wilkinson. I live at 232 West Main. So I'm not directly in the neighborhood surrounding Maplewood, but right there on West Main. I'm right next to the insurance company there. I already see a lot of traffic, especially with the commuter. I wouldn't necessarily mind Siebert being opened up so that to lessen traffic by my house. That's not exactly my question. My question was, how long will the construction take? I think you said your other project took, maybe it's still going. It's been going 4 or 5 years. How much noise are we talking for how long, I guess?
Based on my interpretation of what I think that density is, it's probably about 5-year program from start to finish.
Is that through the course of construction or from the village process through final completion?
That's from the time we probably turn our first shovel
okay.
to the time we complete our last unit.
Okay. That's fine.
Kevin Rather, 337 West Main Street. At the corner of Prairie and Main there. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for everyone doing this. My question, though, is not so much the development itself as you spoke earlier of antiquated ordinances. Will we revisit ordinances when the development gets proposed, whether it be to safeguard our current residents, future residents, as far as even fencing, sidewalks?
Mm-hmm.
Going out, I'm thinking of this as like a nuclear bomb hitting, and I'm not trying to be, you know, like a jerk or sarcastic, and just spreading out. So once they can't get through that traffic, they'll come up behind me and come up Prairie, and then they'll take one street over. To get the quickest way through the neighborhoods, is there any way that we're going to change maybe ordinances or speak ordinances once that development starts to happen?
What ordinances are you referring to?
Fence placement, sidewalks, easements, anything like that. Like maybe if there was even a way to increase foot traffic, making it instead of one sidewalk on one side, maybe put another sidewalk in, increasing foot traffic, maybe incentives of a bike lane, something like that. You know, I don't know. I'm just guessing here.
Well,
to ease the traffic congestion that's already there prior to this coming in. I don't know. Trying to think of, I know it's affecting a lot of people here immediately there, but I think it's going to have that ripple effect taking down from Cary Algonquin to the train, all the way to the back and all the way to the train there. You know?
Mm-hmm. So. Good point. Brian, could you address that about the codes and ordinances with regards to the future development?
Before Brian says something, just want to ask something too. So you're at Prairie and Main. Okay. So when I was over at your house, you said there's no sidewalk on the Prairie side, right?
That would be the East Prairie side. West Prairie, there is a sidewalk.
Okay. So the one that's on, that borders your home, there's no sidewalk for anybody to go ahead and walk on?
Right.
Okay.
I mean, there's not even a sidewalk that goes all the way up West Main. When you get to Cary Algonquin, it eventually just dead ends.
Right.
And now you're playing chicken to get across to the other side. Mm-hmm. To jog over. It's very illogical to me, and I don't mean to offend anyone. I don't know the process.
Thank you, Brian.
Sure. From a development standpoint, from a codes, when the development goes through the zoning process, it would be under our existing zoning regulations. We're currently in the process with working with a consultant to assist with updating our development regulations. So any future development there would still have to conform to our zoning regulations that are in place at the time, but we look for, that would signify where fences and things are located. And if any proposal does not comply with our development regulations, they would need a variance, and surrounding property owners would be notified of any relief that's being requested for a project. So I'm assuming that answers the question, but as far as other improvements that are in the area for a bike, sidewalks and things that are immediately adjacent to the subdivision, we would work with the developer to potentially fill in gaps, but further out from the site is a long-term planning project for the village to look at from a budgeting standpoint if other infrastructure can be put in as well.
Thank you. All right, I think we've heard from everybody that wanted to be heard from. We thank you for participating in this. This will be the first of many meetings discussing any potential development here at Maplewood. This was an introductory. This is the first time the board has actually sat down and met the developer. So he's taking all the information that you've offered and the information that the board is, and he's going to come back. I don't know exactly what his timeline is for where you think that you're going to want to come back with some sort of a site plan or an idea. Is that something that you can answer for us now?
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
But I will, but to answer your question, let me tell you something. I'll be back as I quickly possibly can after, but I've taken all of our notes and we're going to assemble them and put it together, and I'll be back as quick as I possibly can. I can tell you that.
Well, we just want to make sure that the public is notified, yes, and given opportunities. I just recommend that if you don't get the Cary News Weekly, please sign up for the Cary News Weekly, that it'll be publicized on there. Check our Facebook, or not our Facebook, our website. It'll be highlighted on there, and always feel free to reach out to village staff or an elected official to get some additional information. This has been a great information gathering meeting. We look forward to seeing you guys again, coming to other meetings and getting some, you know, having some really good, thoughtful conversations with what we feel would be best for the village of Cary moving forward. So thank you very much for participating.
I would just like to add too, if there are folks that weren't able to speak tonight or weren't interested in speaking tonight, you can certainly send email comments into Village Hall. That's villagehall@caryillinois.com for us to review. So thank you.
Okay. The Village Board have any other comments?
I'd like to address a few of the things that were brought up. Issue I heard over and over again was the traffic and the concern with the traffic. And that's one of my greatest concerns too, is that I don't want to see that increased. And what we're trying to do with this back road out to Cary Algonquin is to reduce that amount of traffic that we see on Main Street. Everybody that's leaving downtown is heading there, then heading up to Cary Algonquin to either go over to Bright Oaks. They're not going through the intersection there, so it's on the Main Street. I mean, we can put in restrictions in terms of signage if we do extend Siebert and Prairie that say, you know, between 4 and 6 o'clock, you're not able to exit that way. We want you exiting out to Cary Algonquin. If we can align that intersection there at the Industrial Drive with this new road coming out with stop lights and that, you know, to try to direct that traffic to keep it flowing and moving, that's some of the things that we're trying to address, is this issue with the traffic and the congestion that we have down there. Another issue that I heard brought up tonight was the park space and the open space that we're looking for. Definitely something I want to, living right there in that neighborhood. One of the ideas that I have running through my head would be that the front part of the property from Siebert, from Prairie Street to School Street, would be that open space. And somehow, if we could, have you ever demolished a building before? I mean, in terms of?
Oh, yeah.
The gymnasium has some significant history in the community.
Yeah.
And that would be something I would be interested in trying to maybe preserve. And I know some people are going to roll their eyes and say, oh, my God, you know, what a albatross that you want. But I think it has a lot of potential in terms of, it has a stage, it has dressing rooms, it's got a lot of potential there. It's got a box office to show movies. And that, so I think it has a lot of potential to be an integral part of the community and maybe an anchor for our section of town to draw people in. McHenry just granted an $80,000 grant, I think, to Smith Central Garage. And when I saw the picture in the paper, it looked very similar to the structure of the Maplewood Gym. And that, I know it would, you know, it said it cost $800,000 to improve the facility up in McHenry. So I know it's going to take a lot of money to turn that gymnasium into something special. And perhaps if we could keep one of the classrooms, and then there was a teacher's lounge behind it, you know, keep those two rooms adjacent to the gymnasium to give us a little bit of a look of what Maplewood School looked like at one time. Art Society in Cary, the Cary Arts Association, you know, the Historical Society, perhaps they would want to partner with people and try to do fundraisers and work some way to try to preserve that part of the site. And then that gives me a little more, okay, they're trying to work with us, and then maybe I'm willing to give a little more in the back, because I've heard a lot of concern about density, apartments, and those are some of the things that I have too. So that would be something that I would be interested in pursuing further, if it would be something that you could consider also in some of your plans that you bring back to us.
If any information you have on that, you know, I'm not aware of it, so this is the first I've heard of it. So
okay.
If you've got anything like that, any of you, please feel free to give it
I'd
to
like
the
to sit down with
staff,
you.
And they'll
yeah.
get it to me.
Okay.
Yeah,
the more I know, the better off I am.
If sure. you have anything, Trustee Krause, you know, please forward it yeah. to me, and I'll make sure that Mr. Taylor gets that.
Thank you.
Yes. I wasn't aware of that until you mentioned it. Thank you.
Darren Washam is in the chat.
Oh, correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Washam on there in storage area.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, George.
Okay, anything else from the village board?
Yeah, I have something to say. And this question is to everybody here tonight. I appreciate you coming out, but really, you know, this is for feedback for the developer. And the feeling I'm getting, and the reason I asked him in the beginning about his lowest common denominator plan and the density, because I viewed that this was what was going to happen. So I was wondering, by a show of hands, who here tonight is in favor of this sort of concept? Okay. Then, and I know, I'm not really sure how to phrase this, if there was a concept that was half the density, and I don't even know what that is, because we don't even know what this is, would anybody be in favor of half the density?
It depends on the building.
It's too hard to say.
Okay. And then, okay. And then who here is in favor of only having parks open space for this lot?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You're confirmed at T minus 10 seconds.
In counting, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Reach for the sky.
Huh?
This town ain't big enough for the two of us.
What?
Somebody's poisoned the water hole.
It's busted.
Who are you calling busted, Buster? That's right. I'm talking to you, Sid Phillips. We don't like being blown up, Sid. Or smashed, or ripped apart.
We?
That's right. Your toys.
Play nice.